This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
An Atlanta podcast on post-show recaps. That's right, we got y'all. It's me, LaTanya, and I'm here with my trusty crew of Mari Forth. Say hi, Mari.
Hey, guys.
And Chappelle. Say hi, Chappelle.
What's up, y'all?
And we are following up our smash hit success that I have decided in my head of the last season of Insecure with a new show that you need to know, and that is season 3 of Atlanta. We are excited to come to you all to talk about this fantastic, critically acclaimed show. I believe season 2 of this show was rated at a 98% on Rotten Tomatoes and a 97 on Metacritic. It's earned many awards in acting, in directing, in writing, and it's coming your way again on March 24th. And we're going to be here for you to recap every bit of the ups and downs of Earn and the crew. So before we do that, we wanted to bring you all a kickoff podcast to give you an idea of who we are, just in case you don't know. And give you an idea of what this show is. What is Atlanta all about? Why is it so great? Why should you watch it in advance of the March 24th air date? So let's start off by talking a little bit about the characters. We've got a lot of superstars in this cast, and I know you all can back me up on this. I was kind of surprised when they said there's going to be two more seasons of this show, because after the first and second seasons, these actors just kind of blew up and everybody wanted them for their projects. Were you all surprised that there's not just going to be a third season, but also a fourth?
Well, yeah, a little bit surprised. But the good thing is, from what I understand, they recorded them back to back. That's why they're able to do that. And for me, I just don't understand why a lot of other shows don't do this.
Yeah.
Like, especially I'm looking at you, Euphoria, like, especially when your cast is like on a time sensitive deadline, you know, of like aging, you would think more products would do this. But I mean, we're coming back 6 years after it originally aired. Season 3 is airing 6 years after it originally aired, because of, you know, the pandemic, but mostly because of, like LaTanya said, like the actors just taking off, you know, and Childish Gambino's music career, all of that good stuff. Like, that's why this is delayed, but that's also why, you know, we're still like hyped up about it. That's why we want to go back and look at the first two seasons, bring you guys a look at the first two seasons, and then go into this third one, like, excited.
Yeah, really excited. Any shocks for you heading into the third season, Chappelle?
Yeah, I mean, just to echo what y'all are saying, other shows should do this. Like, they should take their actors and utilize them while they have them, because like Euphoria, but also like Stranger Things, like these people have time sensitive careers. Like, not only do the shows have to take a place, like place in a certain time and age for them to work, but also these actors just blow up. I mean, we talk about Donald Glover as Childish Gambino and his music career, but we also get like breakout stars like Brian Tyree Henry, aka Paperboy, Lakeith Stanfield, I mean, bigger than anybody could have ever probably imagined.
Academy Award nominated now. Like, it's crazy.
Right. Yeah. Right. And Zazie Beetz as well. Like, so there's so many people that like you just you see them in one role and now all of a sudden they're everywhere. They're getting Emmy Awards and and like you said, Academy Awards. And so you want to utilize them when you got them. And so for me, yeah, season three, I was definitely waiting on it, but I could not have seen season four coming. And so I'm interested to see what that's going to look like and what direction the show is going to take. Because for me, Atlanta has always been a show that it's kind of just, it moves in its own space and time. Like a lot of the episodes feel like bottle episodes where it's not really driven by plot. It's just driven by the moment. And so I definitely want to see what that's going to look like moving forward.
Yeah. So season two of this series aired on March 1st, 2018, which was a big wait from the season one, which aired in 2016, as Mari alluded to. And all of us were really excited to figure out what Earn, Paperboy, Darius, and Van, and that's Donald Glover, Brian Tyree Henry, Lakeith Stanfield, and Zazie Beetz, what their characters were up to. So this is really kind of a dramatic comedy, if you want to put it into a category. It's the brainchild of Emmy, Golden Globe winning, Critics' Choice winning writer, actor, director, and producer, Donald Glover, aka Childish Gambino. And he also happens to be obviously a Grammy winning musical performer. He and his brother came together to put together this show. And a lot of the look of the show can be attributed to Hiro Murai, who was a director who started off mostly with music videos, but then kind of really came into his own working on different episodes of Atlanta. Some of the big ones that really stand out for me, I'm thinking of the Teddy Perkins episode. I'm thinking of so many of the episodes from season two, which was their season that was just all about how in Atlanta, essentially, it's called Robin season because it's that time right around Christmas and the rest of the holidays where people are trying to get as much money as they can so they can bring presents home for the people that they care about. The episode where Paperboy is just lost in the woods and he's really ruminating on his life, his career, and the real life actor, Brian Tyree Henry, we come to find out is really ruminating on the loss of his own mother while filming those episodes. Those are just some of the things that step out, that stand out to me, and not to mention Alligator Man. The great Cat Williams won an Emmy for his portrayal of Alligator Man. Which is fantastic. So I guess as we talk a little bit about the show and kind of what grounds it in surrealism, because there this is a grounded show, but it's also not.
Like I was just about to say that. It mentioned bringing up Euphoria. It's not as out there as Euphoria is and has high concepts pieces like Euphoria does, but it's definitely Atlanta. When I remember about watching the first and second season, I just remember one moment you're like, oh yeah, this is totally like, I can see this happening. And then the next episode, I'm like, what is happening? Like, I'm thoroughly confused as to what is going on because we've kind of stepped out of our, the comfort zone of like, just like dudes trying to make it in Atlanta to like, again, the Teddy Perkins episode is like the one that always jumps to people's minds, you know? So I like Atlanta. I think one of the things that I really remember when it first debuted in 2016 was we got Atlanta and we got Insecure in the same year. That was the same year they both had dropped. And I just remember thinking to myself, like, this is where Black shows are going. Like, this is what, this is feels like the authenticity of like Black shows is heading towards. And it they both felt very revolutionary and groundbreaking, which is why, you know, once we ended our Insecure podcast, we asked people, what else would you want us to cover? And a lot of the suggestions was Atlanta. So I'm very excited to talk about Atlanta. It won't be as deep and as Insecure because it feels like Atlanta is one of those shows that doesn't take itself too seriously. So we're going to try as much as we can to not for us to take it too seriously either. But I can't wait to really dig into season three when we get to that, but also to go back and on our next episode when we go back and we recap season one and two, that's going to be really fun.
Yeah, it's one of those shows that's more like a vibe than it is necessarily. It's scripted, obviously, but it's it doesn't follow that same type of linear progression of what most shows would follow in terms of like, here's the ABC storylines. Here's what the person needs to accomplish this season, et cetera, et cetera. Chappelle, what do you think about just kind of the surrealism of this show and how it really has done so much for just like Black creatives?
Well, I don't know. That's a good question, because I was going to ask Mari this similar question when she said that, you know, in 2016, we got Atlanta and Insecure at the same time. Mm-hmm. If that was the way we were going to go when it comes to Black entertainment, you know, and TV and media and stuff like that. But Mari, I want to know, do you feel like that other than those two shows, we've made a big shift in that direction? Or do you think it's kind of been like those two shows in a bubble that have been like that, and then the other shows have still kind of stayed in, you know, in the mainstream light that they were typically presented in?
Yeah, it, like, looking back, it does feel very bubbly for Insecure in Atlanta, because the only other things you can think about, Blackish came out 3 years prior to both of those, and it's about to wrap up its final season, but it's not the same, it's definitely not the same feeling as these two. And then it did make me think, I was telling you, I was watching Harlem on Amazon Prime, which I feel is like was really trying to get the vibes a bit Insecure, but definitely not Atlanta. I think Atlanta in itself is really, really in a bubble. But off mic, we've talked about there's a lot of Black shows. Chappelle, you're reviewing one for Post Show Recaps, Bel-Air, Grand Crew, which is on Peacock as well. Like, you can tell that like Black comedies and Black sitcoms and Black shows are definitely coming up. And now it's kind of like, will they forever be, you know, compared to the Insecures in Atlanta? I think they might be. Now, is it will it be an easy comparison? I don't think so, because I feel like both of these shows, Atlanta in particular, are very standalone-ish. They're very in their own world, and they deserve to be, you know what I'm saying? And I don't think anybody should try to replicate or duplicate. You should just try and take that formula and make it better. If that answered your question.
it definitely did. I know, like, for me, Insecure was such a like powerful storyline. You know, it was like the beginning of a friendship, and we watched all these relationships form and end and move on and grow, and then it ended. You know, it was a full, complete story. And I don't know yet what the story of Atlanta is. You know, like, is it, you know, Earn story about, you know, getting out of his situation and being a competent manager for Paperboy? Is it Paperboy's music career? You know, what is Darius's storyline? Is it the relationship between Earn and Van? I don't really think the show has decided. And so I think we have two seasons to figure that out. And I think we're going to enjoy talking about it along the way.
I agree.
Okay. And on that note, we're going to take a break to hear from our sponsors. And then when we get back, we're going to get a little bit more into each of the characters of Atlanta.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
All right, and we're back. So we dropped some names for you all, and we just want to make sure that everybody's on the same page. So let's take us through our cast list for a little bit, and then we'll talk a little bit about the characters as well. So Donald Glover plays Ernest Marks, also known as Earn. He most, you know, likely goes as Earn in the show. He's an early 30-something Princeton dropout who turned into a manager for his cousin Paperboy's rap career to get it off the ground. He's kind of cynical, but he's incredibly intelligent. He's highly smart, but he can be known to make decisions that aren't the best thought out. We see him kind of maturing as the show goes on, or at least, if not maturing, learning to become a little bit more ruthless. and doing what he needs to do to succeed. But he does struggle with things like homelessness and poverty throughout the show. You know, we really never know where Earn is going to be from one time to another. We see him at one point in a storage unit sleeping. See him trying to like earn money to pay rent to Van, who we'll talk about in a second. So it's really one of those situations where you have one of the smartest people that you could ever possibly meet who had the opportunity to go to Princeton and leave the hood, but like something about that experience did not go well and did not sit right with him. And he has that kind of in his back pocket. Then we have Brian Tyree Henry, who plays Alfred Paperboy Miles. He's Earn's cousin, as I said before, and an up-and-coming rapper from another low-income community. He exhibits signs of depression, but also has a moral dilemma while navigating his newfound fame as Paperboy. And it's really interesting the way that this show navigates what rap stardom is like, or what any kind of fame is like, when you come from a certain kind of background and you're just trying to remain true to yourself.
Yeah. Can we pause on Paperboy here real quick? So the funny thing about Atlanta to me is Paperboy found that instant success years before, like the kind of the TikTok fame type of deal. And I think that's really funny because like it shows, if you go back and you watch the first episode, it shows what it's like for a local talent to blow up in their community. You know, he's on the radio, he's still trying to sell like mixtapes and stuff out of his trunk and all that stuff, like how it used to like really be, like if you're an artist and how you had to really had to grind to try and get your music and your career started. And that's what the kind of, if there is an overarching theme of the season, it's that, you know, Paperboy is blowing up as a rapper, Earn is trying to be his manager and to help him and be along for the ride. And I just think it's really hilarious that I wonder if at any point they'll try and play with that kind of TikTok type of thing, because I've seen, being on TikTok for only the few months that I have been, it's just so funny to see that there's like actual artists on there who have blown up just from like a 30 second snippet of songs, and now they're touring Europe and stuff like that. Just like Paperboy. So I think it's really interesting that this was a storyline so many years ago, and now that there, we've seen technology blossom in such a way that maybe that might be something we might be looking forward to in these last two seasons as well.
Yeah. I can't wait to see the people trying to make the TikTok videos to Paperboy's music, or him trying to make TikTok so he can keep up with the, you know, with the changing fads.
Yeah, exactly.
It'll be very entertaining because Paperboy does not seem like he would be enthused by that at all.
Right. No. And we see that a little bit, I think, in the first season, where there are just covers of his songs that are being sung by like young, well-meaning white women.
And he gets very well-meaning. I don't know, but he gets very upset. Yeah.
I just assume I'm just going to say well-meaning until otherwise proven. But yeah, just people taking his stuff essentially and turning it into the most, whenever I think of people like white people biting songs that were made by like rappers, for example, I think of that scene in Dreamgirls, the Cadillac car scene, where it's just like a banger on the one end when the black people are singing it, and then it gets slowed down and like all the soul is taken out of it. So he definitely has to like, you know, contend with all of that. I can only imagine that they're going to weave more social media into it. The next main character we have is, and I think my favorite character from the show, is Lakeith Stanfield as Darius Epps. He is the eccentric right-hand man to Brian Tyree Henry's Paperboy. He's a bit of a visionary, but also has served as like a chef, as kind of a gopher. And he's also a first generation Nigerian American and a gun enthusiast. So he has a lot of different levels to his character, and sometimes just having the camera on him and seeing what it is that he's going to say always makes me smile. There's just something about his character that I really like. And finally, we have Zazie Beetz as Vanessa Van Kiefer. She's Earn's on again, off again girlfriend, but also the mother of their daughter, Lottie. Van's a former grade school science teacher. She's biracial, Afro-German, and she's fluent in German as well, which comes in really to a really hilarious episode that's in season two, where they go to what is it called? Oktoberfest.
Yeah, and it's called Helen. I was actually going to say that is my favorite episode of at least season two, mm-hmm. because in the midst of everything that was going on, it was like it was a bottle episode where Earn and Van like actually had to like stop and like talk their stuff out.
Yeah.
And it was very tense, and it gave everybody a reflection of what their actual relationship was when they were still trying to figure it all out.
Yeah. And there's something about them where they know each other so well. They obviously have a child together. There's part of you that just roots for them to be together because they have an ease to them. But there are also just some underlying problems that, you know, they have with one another that's keeping them from fully committing, I guess, and going the whole way. And part of me thinks that, you know, Earn's journey in trying to make something for himself is to do so not for himself and his daughter, but just for them, but also to show Van that he really does have that kind of like in him and he could support them if necessary. So those are the four main characters. I mean, we meet a lot of side characters along the way. Atlanta is full of characters, but I guess the question I'll ask here is who are you all's favorite characters? Chappelle.
I mean, it's hard not to like Darius as your favorite character. It's the way he moves through the show almost like unaffected by everything else that's going on. He's an interesting person. He's different than most characters that you'll see on Black television shows for sure. A white parallel to that would be probably like Cosmo Kramer or something like that from Seinfeld, where it's kind of like, yeah, like he's like in and out. It's kind of wacky. He's doing his own thing, but he has a point. He definitely has a point of view, and he's very introspective. I think that him being there, like, and providing like his own unique aspect is a form of the comic relief that you need in a show like this. I mean, everybody is funny on the show, literally everybody, but his is so different and he's more fascinating to watch because I think for me, he's probably the person who I am the least like knowledgeable about as far as like character wise. Like I know Earns, I know Paperboys. I don't think I know many Dariuses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about you, Mari?
Darius, I like Darius as a character, but I know I could not hang out with the Darius. I would be the Earn to the like, I respect Earn a lot because you can feel his struggle. Like Atlanta following Earn is like I hate to keep going back to Euphoria, but it is it's that constant anxiety inducing feeling because like Latoya said,
that's my name sometimes.
No, it's a long story. Anyways, but he does things as he's doing them, you're like, Earn, what are you doing, bro? Like, stop it. Like, It's very frustrating. And then you just see his desperation. And in season one, he gets very desperate because he gets homeless and he's poor. And like, and it just permeates throughout the whole season of that, just him trying to do whatever it takes to stay Paperboy's manager and to get them, you know, to the next level, but also grappling with what I'm assuming is him being, you know, he's very smart throughout the whole series. They basically talked about how much of a genius he is. And I don't think we truly know what happened with him at Princeton yet. Right. Exactly. So like, I feel for Earn. And I feel like I would be Earn. I would just be like the anxiety, the whole, I have to have a plan. I have to do this. I have to do this. I have to do this. Like that drive and that ambition. But the difference is he has no resources. So I like Earn, and I don't know if I agree when you said that you want him and Van to be together. I don't really think they need to be together at all.
Oh, really? I 100% agree with Mari. I don't want them anywhere near each other at all. I'm like, y'all need to get far, far away from each other. Period. That's it. just
they need to figure out their co-parenting, but yeah, I don't think that they
but that's it.
Yeah,
at no point am I rooting for them.
Like, it's not exactly.
So for our listeners who maybe are going to be embarking on this show for the first time, you know, what are the best reasons that you all can think of to convince somebody to watch this show? And what's your favorite episode that you're excited to revisit as we revisit seasons 1 and 2? Whoever wants to go first.
If I'm going to tell people to try and encourage people to rewatch the show is very easy to watch. Like, it, I think the episodes are like 30 minutes or something like that, akin to like Insecure, if I remember correctly. I think so, right? They're like short. And they breeze through. Like, you truly can like sit and binge it in a day or two. Also, it's, I guess, it's a struggle. Like, it's a struggle. If you like Euphoria, if you like those type of shows where like you're seeing character like arcs, because I think one of the main thing that people liked about Euphoria was each character had a episode, you know, each character has their own episode. Atlanta's kind of exactly like that. Like Chappelle said, there are bottle episodes where sometimes we just get one character. Sometimes we get the character and their friends. Sometimes we will get all four of the characters. Sometimes we'll just get the two characters. So I like the episodes because you can watch them, you know, you don't even technically need to watch them all in order or in the whole season because, you know, there's only tiny threads, but it really is like a very interesting show. And it's not like any show that was on at the time. And I still don't think it's, you know, I've made a lot of comparisons for it, but it truly is unique in its own. And the way it blends music and the struggle and all of these characters, it's just really good. It's really well. If you like our Insecure coverage, you will definitely like, and you like watching Insecure, you'll definitely like watching Atlanta, I feel like, even though it's two different vibes.
Yeah. And on that vibes like point, I think one of the things that people should probably be aware of, if they've never seen Atlanta before, is that in 2016, Atlanta was written in a way I don't think it would be written in 2022. So there's a lot of things that a lot of subjects that they broach in a, I won't say like harsh way, but I'll definitely say it was very direct. Like, they say things that you do not necessarily hear on television anymore. There are words that are not necessarily used on TV anymore. And I'm actually very interested to see how they're going to address that, because in the past, I remember one of the very first episodes, I believe it's episode 2, where there's a shooting and they end up in jail. That scene at the time was taken like in a very light way, but I just don't think that it reads the same now in 2022 and moving forward. And so like stuff like that, like really define the show for a while. And I'm wondering if they're going to be able to pivot to a more palatable version of the show, or if they're going to stick to the same thing that the show was and just let people take it as it is, you know? And so definitely one, I'm interested in seeing that. And so like, yeah, for the new watchers, just be aware that it might be something that you might not love it. You know, Insecure, I think, was a show that was for Black people, but definitely like very like digestible for everyone. And I don't know if Atlanta is all the time.
I agree with that.
Yeah. But that being said, I think my favorite episode, so the Teddy Perkins episode is very good, but I don't know if I ever want to rewatch it all the time.
Exactly.
Because it's kind of dark. So for me, like, maybe I loved season 1. I definitely liked the episode where I believe they end up going, I think it's Juneteenth. They end up going.
Oh my God, I love that episode.
The episode is a mess. But I do like awkward comedy like that. And so, yeah, the Juneteenth episode is very funny. And so again, check that out. I know another one of the big episodes that stands out is the the BAN episode.
Yeah.
Yes, that was hilarious. Yeah.
That was so good.
Yes, and that one, like I said earlier, like, it's very much like a bottle of, it's like, it's an episode that just kind of takes place on the screen but doesn't have anything to do with the larger plot for the most part. But it's a very funny episode, and it's also going to be another one of those episodes that, like, depending on you know, the time when you're watching the episode, it may not be as palatable as it was, but moving forward, I definitely want to see how they're going to navigate the topics like that in the future.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really fun show. I love the Teddy Perkins episode because of how creepy it is, I was just like excited that there was a horror movie, basically a little bit of a horror movie with a Michael Jackson-esque character in the middle of a season.
Don't give it away. Don't give it away. Let them like pique their interest and then go watch it.
He was at the Emmys. I'm just saying it's been out there, but I won't ruin any more. And we've run out of time anyway. So yeah, we're going to come back to you all with essentially a breakdown of the first two seasons, just like we did with Insecure, only there are fewer episodes for us to talk about. Right. And then we'll have even more reasons for you all to watch as well. So if you all want to start watching along, you can do that on Hulu. I believe all of the episodes are available. They're also available on an FX platform because it's an FX show. And then the show itself premieres with two episodes on March 24th, the first being Three Slaps, and the second episode is Sinterklaas is Coming to Town. Mm-hmm. So those sound pretty interesting. From what I see of the previews, it should be great. If you want to keep chatting with us about Insecure or Atlanta or anything that we might talk about here on Post Show Recaps, you can do that by becoming a member of our Patreon at the $10 level. Patreon allows you to support us and to provide more podcasts for you all. You can go to patreon.com/postshowrecaps. Support us at any level that you're able. Signing at any level makes it possible for us to bring you podcasts about Atlanta, something that we've never covered here on Post Show Recaps before. So any parting words from the two of you?
No. Like Chappelle said, like, it is a more mature tone than Insecure. So feel free to watch any of the episodes that we have mentioned here. Listen to the review podcast that we're going to do and then decide if you want to hang in here with us. But no matter what, we just want to thank you guys, the listeners, because without all of your suggestions and all of the really good feedback, we probably wouldn't be here on Post Show Recaps again. So, you know, we're here, we're doing this, and we hope you guys enjoy the content.
Yeah, it's rated MA. So, you know, strap yourself in. Like, you got to know what you're getting yourself into. But the tone for season one and the tone for season two were almost completely different. And so we are going to be just as surprised as you all are for season three and possibly season four. So I'm excited and I can't wait to get into it with everybody.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. And we hope that you join us on our journey through Atlanta. Bye.